You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Welcome back to Right Side Radio. This is Scott Buttram. I'm the publisher of the Trustful Tribune, filling in for Phil Williams today on Right Side Radio. And a big thanks to Jeff Poore of the Jeff Poore Radio Show for filling in for me, folks. It's been a day. I started by going to the studio in Athens, Alabama, which is where I filled in for Phil several months ago. And come to find out, I needed to be in Gadsden, which is a whole lot closer to my hometown of Trustful than Athens was. But we're here. It took a minute, but we're all here. I will be joined shortly by the Jefferson County Republican Party chairman. That will be Paul DeMarco. He'll be jumping on board to discuss the upcoming midterms and where things stand in Jefferson County and across the state. I'm always happy to fill in for Phil because I am one of the few conservative newspaper publishers still alive in the state of Alabama. They're moving my office to the local museum to be with the other dinosaurs in our industry. And I'm glad to be with you guys and some conservative listeners out there in the real world. If you'd like to give us a call, 833-687-4448. Again, 833-687-4448. I welcome your calls. I'd like to talk to you about anything you want to discuss. It is a busy week coming up. We are one week and one day away from the midterms. Will it change the direction of the United States? Conservatives hope so. Will things stay the same? Will it be a big win for the Republicans, or will it be a marginal win for the Republicans? I don't think anybody is questioning at this point whether or not the Republicans will come out on top a week from tomorrow night. I believe they will. The question is how big. Other news today, Jeff touched on it a little bit. I won't get too deep into it because I was born and raised in Tuscaloosa, which means I'm an Alabama fan, but the big news in this state is that Auburn has fired Brian Harsin from the head coaching position at Auburn University. I've got a lot of friends who are Auburn fans. I know they had pretty much had it with him and were ready to make a change. They were also a little tempered by what he went through last year in his inaugural season at Auburn with the interference from trustees and boosters and just the things that Auburn fans are sick and tired of seeing over and over and over again. But at this point, the season was going downhill. They've pulled the plug. Don't know if that really changes anything. If you were in power at Auburn, you were probably already looking around for a new coach. I don't know that firing this one in the middle of the season changes that time plan. But we'll be watching it, and of course, the entire state of Alabama will watch it because football's big here, and we like it that way, and we don't apologize for it. So we will be looking for Paul DeMarco anytime. Also, we'll be joined a little later today by Wesley Brett. You've heard a lot from his wife. Lord knows we've interviewed her at the Tribune about three times now, I believe, maybe four. We've also interviewed, by the way, a couple of different times. Her opponent a week from tomorrow will be Will, and his name escapes me. I'll have to dig that up. But we've interviewed her Democratic opponent twice. You can see what an impression he made. I think Katie Britt has this in the bag. I think she will win, and she will win big. Also, listen to a little bit of what Jeff Poore said earlier while he was covering for us, in that he thinks she will make waves in Washington quickly. I agree with that. We've watched her closely, I don't mind telling you, I was not on board with Katie Britt when she first announced that she was running for the United States Senate. I thought she had no name recognition, she was a total unknown, and she was wasting everybody's time. I've had to eat crow multiple times because of that. She was the hardest campaigner I've ever seen and went from corner to corner of the state, won the Republican nomination quite handily, and I agree with Jeff. I think she will make waves in Washington, and I think she will do it very quickly, and I think she will be a very effective United States senator. She is certainly replacing one of the most effective senators in state history in Richard Shelby. He has been there forever and has delivered the goods for the state of Alabama on a very regular basis. So she's got some big shoes to fill. But we will visit with her husband, Wesley Brett, and we will find out what it's been like for him on the backside of this campaign. Somebody has to run the family while she runs for the U.S. Senate. And everything I've heard, he's done an exceptional job. I'm sure his history as an Alabama football player more than prepared him for handling two kids. What do you other dads think? I'm kind of laughing at myself when I say that, because I know when my wife leaves the house, it is chaos. The kids control everything. So we'll find out if it's been like that at the Brett campaign. We'll also be talking to Sean Ross a little later today. Looking forward to that. Sean Ross is heavily involved with the Republican campaigns. We're going to talk about the midterms and see what information he can tell us, what his crystal ball says on the national election scene coming up in the midterms next week. We've mentioned that about four times. I guess I can stop doing that at this point. So what do you think about the interview Jeff had with Tom Butler? I found it very interesting. Tom Butler making a bid to return to the legislature here in Alabama, and the polling shows that he has a good chance to come in. I know that Jeff thinks very highly of Butler. I have no reason not to think highly of Butler. I think he did a fine job in the past. I was a little interested in the interview, though, that he did with Jeff when he talked about gambling has been coming up since 1982. And then he goes into the typical song and dance, oh, but we had priorities we had to deal with. I'm curious, if you want to call and talk about this, I'd love to hear your opinion. Again, that number is 833-687-4448. If you're a conservative voter in this state, how tired are you hearing the legislature make excuses for not passing a clean lottery bill? Every bit of the polling that's been done in this state show that Alabamians overwhelmingly favor a clean lottery. Why not have it in Alabama? They've got it everywhere else. We also show that voters in Alabama overwhelmingly approve more school choice. These are two issues that the Republicans in Montgomery, okay, we talk a lot about the swamp in Washington, D.C. Let's talk a little about the swamp in Montgomery, Alabama. It's a Republican supermajority. For those of you who are like me and who have worked hard to vote for conservatives and put them in office, are you beginning to get frustrated with the fact that we have a supermajority Republican or supermajority Republican House and Senate in Montgomery, yet they never seem to get the things done that voters want done? Where's the disconnect? Why is there a disconnect? If polling shows the majority of Alabamians want more school choice, how hard is that to do? Other states have done it. Why are we so slow to do it in Montgomery? If overwhelming polling shows that the majority of Alabamians want a clean lottery, why is that so hard to get done? We're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. We've got lotteries in other states ahead of Alabama. They didn't seem to have any trouble figuring out how to do it. Why does Montgomery continue to have problems figuring out things that other states seem to have figured out pretty easily? If you want to talk about it, call us at 833-687-4448. Where is your breaking point? Where do you reach the line where you say, you know what, we swapped a supermajority Democrat Montgomery for a supermajority Republican Montgomery, and the more we change, the more things stay the same? Are you frustrated with that? I am. Can you tell that I'm frustrated with it? We've got one of the lowest public education systems in the United States of America. We should be giving our students and their families an exit door to get out of public education, to go to a private school, go to a Christian school, go to a charter school, homeschool. Give parents the option to make the best choices for their kids. That's my theory, and that's where I think we ought to be. All right, we're going to go to a break here shortly, and when we come back, hopefully we'll be joined by Paul DeMarco. We'll be looking for Paul soon. And just as quickly as we can, wait, we may have a caller here. All right, let's see. We're going to hang tight real quick before we go to break and see if we can get Chris on. Chris, can you hear us, Chris?
Yes, sir. I sure can. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for calling, Chris. What's on your mind today?
Well, about the Republicans down in Montgomery not doing a lottery and right. not doing school choice,
right.
I think personally it's I'm tired of listening to their campaign spills, making empty promises. I personally think the people in Montgomery, all the Republicans in Montgomery, are just too cowardly to stand up to the Porch Creek Indians and the AEA to get anything passed, and I think that they know they've got a supermajority, and they're not going to lose their supermajority, so they get up there and do little to nothing.
I may just let Chris have a 15-minute segment here. He literally reached in my head and pulled the thoughts out of my brain. Chris, that's exactly what's going on. You just nailed it. The Poarch Creek Indians are the only reason we don't have a lottery at this point. They're leveraging the legislature with campaign money, and they throw a monkey wrench in it every single session and create reasons that don't exist for us not to have one. And you're right, AEA, which let's backtrack a bit, shall we? In 2010, the Democrats were stripped from power in the state of Alabama. In 2010, the Republicans took over the supermajority. The Alabama Republican Party, we're about to have the Jefferson County Republican chair on. We may talk about this a little more. The Alabama Republican Party passed a rule back in 2010. You cannot take campaign contributions from AEA. Well, guess who's filling up the campaign coffers of Republican elected officials all over Alabama? AEA. Chris, you're dead on it. And you know what, Chris? I'm actually encouraged that the first caller is this in touch with what's going on in the state. It makes me feel better because a lot of times I feel like my friends and neighbors aren't paying attention.
And I just wanted to make just one quick comment. The only other thing that I can think of is that some people, I know school choice may not be the thing to do in their districts, but it seems like we're, you know, catering to the few and, you know, not the many.
Again, Chris hits one more nail on the head before he leaves the conversation here. Chris, great call. Appreciate your input on that. And he's exactly right about that. I live in Trussell, Alabama, one of the top five public school systems in the state of Alabama. My wife teaches at Mountain Brook, commonly considered the number one public education system in the state of Alabama. Folks, it's going to take folks in Trussell, Mountain Brook, Vestavia, Hoover, Athens, Alabama, where you're happy with your school system and you're happy with your kids and where they are, you're going to have to be the ones to speak up if you want to help other people in this state that need a exit. They need a route out of the public school system. It will lift our entire state. But the voices in the systems where kids probably won't move out, those need to become very loud voices. My daughter's a sophomore in high school. She's not leaving Hewitt-Trussell High School. We're thrilled with the education she's getting there. I want our friends and neighbors in the Black Belt, in Birmingham, in Montgomery, in Huntsville, in inner city Mobile, I want their kids to have the same opportunities, and they're going to have to leave the public school to make that happen. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Scott Buttram with Right Side Radio. Scott Buttram here for Right Side Radio. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Right Side Radio coming at you from, let me find my call letters here, 92.5 Cumulus and 770 AM. And if you're in the Birmingham market, you're listening on 101.1 FM and WYDE 850 AM. Joining me now is Jefferson County Republican Chair Paul DeMarco. Paul, are you with us?
Hey, Scott. How you? Your listeners doing well today. I hope you are doing well.
I think everybody's doing well. We had a little bit of a mix-up. I went to the wrong studio in the wrong city, so Jeff Poor had to fill in for me the first hour of the show, but we got it covered. And we're talking, Paul, a little bit about midterms that are coming up a week from tomorrow, obviously. But we're looking at a lot of things, talking all things conservative today. You sent over an interesting article by Paul Gaddis. He's AL.com, I believe, right? And he had done a piece on, I think, the sentencing project. And this has been kind of a Democratic issue for a while. We've seen it certainly at the state level. I've interviewed multiple state Democratic candidates, and they're all pushing to get more prisoners voting. Doesn't seem like a winning campaign platform, but what are your thoughts, Paul?
Well, go back and pull back the curtain and look at this organization and why are they pushing this. And you look at some of their more important mission issues. One of them is they say they don't want anybody convicted of any serious crime to serve more than 20 years in jail.
Right.
So I want you to think about this. I want your listeners, this same group that's complaining about not enough criminals are getting the chance to vote, so obviously they want them to be able to vote from prison, no matter if you're a sexual predator or a rapist or a mass murderer. Even if you commit the worst of the worst crime, they don't want you to spend any more than 20 years in jail. So these are the kind of groups that actually exist in America today that want to weaken the criminal justice system. And you look at how violence has gotten so bad in this country. And then you've got AL.com that's like, oh, yeah, this is something that, you know, they're really pushing here in the state of Alabama. And that this group is pushing this. I mean, how do you take an organization like this seriously?
That's what's baffling about it. How do you take them seriously? And you're right. Now, this is happening across America. But this was a great reminder that this push is going on in the state of Alabama by Alabama Democrats, and it's happening right now. So this is not something, folks, that you're picking up the paper and reading about happening in California or New York and it's never going to affect you. These are the Alabama Democrats that are pushing this issue right now. Paul, the Republicans in the state of Alabama have a supermajority, both in the legislature and at the polling place with Alabama voters. How in the world do Alabama Democrats think they get back in the game by pushing, by making prisoners eligible to vote? There's that number is not going to make them competitive again. It gets them nowhere. What are we missing here? What's their greater motivation?
I think that they are trying this whole big issue, whether it's defund the police and no mass incarceration and no bails, no bond. They are really trying to just push and push and push and push until they get their way with this. And they're not going to give up on it. And so they think they're going to get some of these Republicans who, oh, well, look, you can compromise here on this and this until they get their way. So that's why voters and citizens need to look up and say, Alabama legislators, state representatives and senators, public safety, priority number one for you should be public safety. Public safety, and do not let them forget it. Do not let any of these state representatives or senators forget that they want public safety to be the number one issue.
Paul,
we're going to continue to talk about this because this is going to continue to be pushed by progressives and Democrats.
Well, we're pushing on the bottom of the hour, but I know there's something you want to touch on before we get there. And that is when we go to the polls a week from tomorrow, there are going to be multiple Alabama amendments on there. One amendment in particular gives judges a lot more flexibility in the state of Alabama in terms of sentencing. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, that's Amendment 1. It's named after Anaya Blanchard, a tragic murder that happened in Lee County. That of someone that got out of jail, should have never been out of jail. That's Amendment 1, and that will allow judges to keep these folks behind bar where there's an incident just like this where someone should have never been out of jail. That's Amendment 1 on the ballot. Our citizens should vote this, and hopefully this will, and I think it will, help with public safety in the state of Alabama if voters support Amendment 1.
So vote yes on Amendment 1. Paul, thank you for joining us. We'll be right back with Right Side Radio. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. Scott Buttram filling in for Phil Williams. Again, thanks to Jeff Poore for filling in for me for the first hour of today's show. And we are happy to be with you here. We're coming from the studio in Gadsden. We're about to be joined by the first gentleman of the U.S. Senate for Alabama, or soon will be, Wesley Brett. Wesley, are you on with us, Wesley?
Yes, sir, Scott. Thank you for having me.
Hey, we're glad to have you. I actually had intended to schedule Katie for the show today when I found out I was going to be filling in. And then about 10 minutes after that, I see on Twitter that Katie was here last week. So I thought, you know what? We'll go a different direction. We'll bring Wesley in. And before she even faces election a week from tomorrow, in the midterm general election, we'll get her husband to spill all the dirt on her.
I know Katie always loves being on with you, Scott. And but she does. She right now is getting ready for concession stand duty at middle school basketball game.
That I'm so glad you said that. And Wesley, for those of you who don't follow us at the Trustful Tribune, we've interviewed Katie, I think, three, maybe four times at this point. We've had her in our studio several times for different interviews, and we've had multiple phone calls, just not professional calls, just personal calls throughout right. this campaign. And some of them are hysterically funny when you realize you're talking to someone who may be a U.S. senator a week from tomorrow, and she's calling you and say, hey, do you have 10 minutes? I'm sitting in car line right now, and I had a few minutes.
I know. She's nonstop. She's always doing something, whether it's family, campaign, or with a church or something.
Right.
Always.
That's absolutely true. I've been on the phone with her while she's going on with her mom and her wife duties.
Uh-huh.
None of that stops. I think people don't realize, you know, you throw your hat in the ring in a national campaign, but your world doesn't stop. You guys have two school-aged children, a beautiful daughter and a great-looking son. But, Wesley, this has shifted a lot of responsibility to you. That you've had to just pick up and go with, or Katie can't be a candidate for the U.S. Senate. So what has that been like in the Britt household?
You know, it's definitely different. We've always tried to be a team with our marriage, and there's a lot of give and take in that. And I think, like, looking back, you know, God's prepared us for this, to be adaptable, to be able to pick the flag and do what you need to do for the team, especially for me being an offensive lineman, where I'm not the center of attention. I do
right.
do whatever it is, offensive lineman, to win football games. You know, I keep people, I take the play, I execute the play. And that's what I do. And for the family, and I've always been a very involved parent. We've always had to do things as a team, whether it's when she had our second child, she was in law school, and I was working on my MBA. So it's
perfect timing.
We did it, perfect timing, exactly. But you know, that's what Katie liked to say, on the list of bad ideas, that one was at the top. But you find a way, and then we're so fortunate, so blessed to have great kids too. I mean, our children have just been—they've been champs through it all. And honestly, I don't know one time since kindergarten, and they're in seventh and eighth grade now, that we've had to ask them what they have for homework, because they are so competitive, and they're competitive with their grades and schoolwork. Yeah. They're competitive and they want to be involved. They don't want to miss anything, and they know that if they leave it up to me, that they will probably miss a lot of things. So they stay on top of things a lot.
What a blessing to have kids like that, because my children are the same way. And I will tell you, I was not that way. I was my parents' personal nightmare. They had to ask me, you know, every day, do you have homework?
Mm-hmm.
You're lucky to have kids like that. But now you've also been very involved with this campaign. You've had to take over a lot of responsibilities on the home front, but I follow the campaign. I follow where Katie's popping up, and more often than not, you're there as well. How are the kids managing with this? Are they excited about what they're seeing going on with their mom and with their dad involved in that? Are they apprehensive about it? We're because they're old enough to really understand exactly what's happening here. History's being made in their family.
I think one of the things that we've tried for us is, and every family is different, but anytime we have any type of big change or big decision to make, we involve them up front. And this in this particular decision, we prayed about it a lot. Katie and I prayed about it. We prayed as a family, and both the children independently went to Kate to tell her that she had to do this, the things that seemed on the seen on the news or things that they've seen that know that she could do.
Wow.
So they were vested from the beginning and have just been champs, but also, ultimately, they're in middle school. I sometimes even wonder if they even know what's going on. Like, the most important thing to them is who they're sitting by at lunch or their football game that night or volleyball or and that's, you know, they sometimes I think they're busier than we are.
Yeah, well, they are. They are. I don't know if you've noticed it yet. If you haven't, you will notice it over the next few years. Your social calendar will actually be replaced by theirs.
I know.
I mean, that's
all of my friends are my children's friends.
Yeah.
Are my children's friends' parents. You know,
that doesn't get any better in the near future. Mine is a sophomore. And I check my schedule every Monday to see exactly where I'm supposed to Uber her and deliver money to and whatever else is required of being a dad. So that's just going to get better. So
yeah, now they just text me. Can you send me something by text?
Yeah. They'll have their own Venmo before you know it.
They won't
need you to do anything but send it over. Wesley, at long last, we're in the final stretch here. The midterms are a week from tomorrow. I'm assuming you've looked at the schedule for the next 7 days. What does it look like for you guys? Where will you and Katie be going? What will Katie be doing? What will the family be doing? And I think the question that I want to know most is, where will the Brett family watch the election returns a week from tomorrow night?
Right. So we will be we'll be crisscrossing the state, and I do not. I would be lying to you if I told you that I knew exactly where we were going to be, because, like I said, the offensive line, and I learned real early in the campaign, if you start looking at everything that we have to do, it could get really, really overwhelming. Yeah,
you only need the play from the huddle to the line of scrimmage.
That's right. I run one play at a time. One play at a time. I know we were in Huntsville today, and now we're in Montgomery, and started about, I think our first meeting this morning is at 7:30 in Huntsville, and now we're about to go. Katie is already getting the concession stand ready, and I have to go work admissions at 4 for the middle school basketball. And then we have a Halloween thing tonight. It's all I know, one day at a time. Now you're getting a little out of my pay grade here, Scott.
You need to block off about an hour a week from tomorrow, because you're going to need to go vote at some point.
right.
Slide you
the election returns. We'll be in Montgomery that night. I think we're going to have a little viewing party in downtown Montgomery.
Good.
Yeah.
Wesley. Let's talk about some of the news that happened over the weekend. With Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi. And granted, we don't know all of the details of what's going on here.
Which
is a problem. That's right, because we should know the details and we need to know the details. But we do know that over the weekend he was involved in an attack by a guy who allegedly hit him with a hammer. And we've seen other things. We can almost set the Pelosi situation aside, and when we know that the man was arrested outside of Brett Kavanaugh, Justice Kavanaugh's house, planning to assassinate him. We know that there was a shooting of the Republican softball team during a softball game, two years ago. Your wife is about to step into a highly political, highly contentious office in a society where we're becoming more polarized and we're seeing more and more violence come up. As her husband, where are you on this? How do you feel about this? And what are your apprehensions or concerns?
And I think there's honestly concerns that a lot of parents are having right now, and a lot of family members, a lot of husbands, a lot of wives are discussing, is the rise of crime in our society, the way we glorify it, from video games to the media telling people that they don't need to be, that there should be cashless bails or whatever it is.
Right.
We have to have law and order. Our Hollywood has got to do something about it. It is a issue, because it's something that's being glorified all over our world now in our country. And it does. It's across all spectrums, all industries. no matter what you're doing, the rise of crime is affecting everybody. And it is something I worry about a lot, that we have to, but we, it's something that we have to pray about. We have to pray for God. We stay in the Word. We stay in Ephesians 6, just God giving, you know, just shielding us, giving us the armor of the Lord, and praying about it and staying prepared. And that's, you know, there's some certainly protections and precautions that we can take, and we try to take everything we can, but we're not going to live in fear. We're not going to live in fear. We're going to continue spreading the word, spreading God, you know, trying our best to show God's greatness, to show God's glory, and we're going to continue doing our best, working for the people of the country and the state, and making sure that people see hope. People see somebody out there trying to do good.
That's a great attitude. And I really think it's probably the only one that you can take forward. It's interesting, Wesley, as you were talking about that, I was thinking about the story of you and Katie and your children riding through the tornadoes in Tuscaloosa, and the protection that God placed over you and your family that day. And I don't know. I can't remember where that was. Was it Christian Family Magazine? Do you recall
maybe.
Did that story? I would urge our listeners, if you haven't read that story, to Google it. Try Christian mm-hmm. Family Magazine, Katie and Wesley Britt and the tornadoes in Tuscaloosa, because that, to me, that was such a moving story. And you really, you guys were a very young family at that point. This had to be about the time that your first one was born, or shortly after your first one was born.
Yeah, I think our children, because April, our children had just turned. They're both of them were born in April, and our children had just turned one and two.
Maybe the most moving story I've ever read. I don't mind telling you, it moved me to tears mm-hmm. when I read it. And in fact, I will tell you, I didn't know Katie then. I didn't think much of her one way or the other. But it was one of those things that kind of gets your attention. So your family has been placed in the protection of God in a very, very real way, and you've experienced it in a very real way. So that's strong coming from you, that you're still relying on that as your wife hopefully heads off to D.C. In a week. You, at the same time, your family will stay in Montgomery for the most part in that area. So you'll be tasked with protecting your children. Are you confident in that? I know that physically you are, but you don't always see it coming, right?
No, you don't. And all we can do is do our best. Let's do our best, and whatever we do is give it everything we have and pray, do our best, and rely, and we have great family and friends, and we can't live in fear. We can't live in fear. We have to live with hope, and live with what's possible, and continue to move forward.
Wesley, let's go back to the earliest days of this campaign. When y'all as a family started talking about the possibility of Katie running for the United States Senate, what was your initial feeling about it when it first came up at the kitchen table?
You know, there were a lot of different thoughts, and I tried just to be there. I know, first of all, I know what Katie can do. I know, I've seen her from being best friends for the last 22 years. I've seen her. I know where her faith is. I know who she is as a person. And they don't make them better. She is just a great person, a great human being. And then I know what she's capable of doing. She is brilliant. I've seen her time and time again get results in some of the most difficult circumstances that don't even make sense to me in hindsight, but it happens over and over and over. You know, the first couple of times I saw it, I just thought it just kind of chalked it up like, yeah, he just kind of fell into that. And then I realized, wait, there's a plan there. Yeah. There's something way above my head that's two steps up. And so, and we need, with our country being torn apart at the fabric, there's an existential crisis where what's up is down and what's down is up now. And we have to get back to the basics. And Katie has a real knack for getting things done and getting results, and we got to have somebody like her that stands for something, that will actually work for the people and not just go up there for their own glory or for their own fame, but to actually work for the people they represent. And so I was excited about that. Then, you know, kind of the realities of putting the X's and O's together, what it would take, and what that would mean. And it's difficult whenever you say, hey, I'm going to have to, I had to resign from my job.
Right.
Because it wasn't something we could do with me being on a campaign trail and continue to do my job. But with name ID at 2 or 3%, we had to both be out there full time working on the campaign, and then her having to leave her job. And then when it's a difficult situation, when you say, wait, so you're going to resign from a job to apply for a job where you'll make a portion of the salary. And, you know, at the very least, you're going to have to get an apartment. We'll have to get an apartment up there where in the highest real estate in the country. And that, you know, when you put that on paper, it's hard to make sense. Hey, oh, let's not forget, the better job you do, the more half the people in the country are going to hate you.
That's right. Hey, Wes, so, we need to get a quick break in. Can you stay with me and yep. finish up to the top of the hour?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Stay with us. This is Right Side Radio. We'll be right back with Wesley Britt. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I tried to jump the gun there a little bit. Boomer's holding me back. He's got his hand on the reins, pulling me back. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. This is Scott Buttram filling in for Phil Williams. We're on the line with Wesley Britt. Wesley has got to move on. We spent a good portion of this interview talking about the fact that responsibilities as a father and a mother for he and Katie have never gone away. They've still got to take care of that, and he is on his way to take care of some of that stuff. Wesley, I've got one final question for you, and thank you for holding over and staying with us for one more question. I've asked Katie this, and you've heard several of these interviews. You've been sitting there during some of them. She always gives me a laundry list when I ask this question, so I'm going to ask you, what is the number one thing Senator Katie Britt needs to take care of when she gets to Washington, D.C.?
Ooh, that immigration, the border.
Yeah.
You know, I think that has to be a focal point. I think that's one of the major issues that is really driving a lot of problems in our country.
That's right.
We have to seal and secure our border. We've had 10 or 15 overdoses in public schools this year alone where narcotics have been used in the first 2 months of school.
Right.
That is, and it's all can be traced back from China to Mexico through the border, the amount of terrorists that are getting through the border, the size of the population of Alabama has been caught and released in the last year,
right,
coming through, and it's unbelievable the dangers there. That to me, and I don't want to speak for Katie, but for me, that is one of the biggest issues we face.
Well, you're going to have her ear, so a lot of us are going to be counting on you to use your position to move that forward. And I agree with you. So many things are triggered through the open southern border that we have in this country, and it's leading to many, many other problems in this country. Wesley Britt, thank you for taking the time to spend with us today, and we, along with you, will be following the polls a week from tomorrow.
Thank you, Scott. God bless.
Thank you. That was Wesley Britt, husband of Katie Britt. She will be on the ballot a week from tomorrow for the midterms, the U.S. Senate seat from Alabama. And it'll be up to you, the voters, you, our listeners, to decide where that goes. We're going to take a break. We will be back with more Right Side Radio.